in studio, excited to have. Think about all that traditional road-related excitement that you can have on Route 66, but you don't need to have, you know, traditional experiences. You can have futuristic energy and planet conserving experiences too, right? And the guy, the perfect guy to be in studio to talk a little bit about that is Francis Wang. He's the CEO of Nanograph. Francis, welcome to WGN. Welcome to the future.
Thank you, Dan. Good morning.
So let's talk a little bit about it. When you try to connect all the dots, had an opportunity to meet you at Venue 610, you know, that great place to be able to watch and experience so much of the on-track moments for racing here in Chicago. And you were there as part of a forward-thinking group. Not that NASCAR isn't forward-thinking. They are. They unveiled really what could be the first EV car-related, or at least an advanced version of that. And they were excited to showcase that here in Chicago. And I know you were part of that as well. So for Nanograph, and one of the things I was excited about and wanted to have you in for, not only that space that is, I think, just so important to so many people in a bunch of different ways, lifestyle wise, but the fact that you're here in Chicago, right? You're not on the phone from, you know, across the world or across the country. You're right here.
Yeah, absolutely. Nanograph's very much a Chicago story. We came out of collaboration between Northwestern University and Argonne National Lab, and we have set up shop just west of here in Westtown. We've got two facilities there, and we're actually manufacturing product here in Chicago.
When you say product, talk a little bit about what that is. It's batteries, right? You know, and it's the kind of thing that, you know, when I was a kid, batteries were what ran your toys, you know, or your transistor radio, but now they are an essential part of life.
For sure, for sure. So Nanograph has a technology called a silicon anode material. So the silicon anode material, if you remember, a lithium-ion battery has a plus side and a minus side. I think most people know that. Nanograph's product is on the negative side. It's a product that we have demonstrated, other companies have also demonstrated and validated, that it significantly increases the energy density of a lithium-ion battery, also the power density, and can also impact cost. We're doing all of this in Chicago, very exciting, this type of U.S. innovation. And maybe what's most exciting is the fact that we're making it in the good old U.S. of A.
Not only the USA, and then a lot of that action is happening here, and the benefits and some of those jobs and futuristic possibilities are happening right here in Illinois. I know there's a lot of support from people in Illinois, and of course support here for it as well. When it comes to the lithium battery, and for the listeners that may not know, and even me that may not be completely informed, I think of it as cell phones. I think of it as cell phones, and I think of it as cars, right? As yeah, as the EV cars. Is that really the extent of it, or what are some of the other possibilities?
Yeah, certainly we started off with phones in the 90s, that continues on, but that's become a very small part of the market. The biggest part these days of the dream is mainstream electric vehicles. We're seeing more and more of these on the road every year. And when you look at like the percentage of materials that go into batteries, it's mostly about electric vehicles today. When we think about the future, there's a variety of things that people are already talking about. Certainly grid-scale energy storage, where we use renewables and batteries in combination to balance the grid, so we're burning less things like coal, being more efficient, obviously better for the environment. There is even things like eVTOL, where, you know, maybe in my lifetime, Dan, in your lifetime, we might see some flying taxis fly by. These are going to be powered by batteries. They're talking about, you know, airlines also having a certain amount of power from batteries. So these are all things that are being talked about, and I certainly think in the next 20, 30 years, you're going to see these things happen. So very exciting.
Lithium batteries you made in sort of the components and just the industries around that came to prominence with a lot of other things because of the supply chain issues during the pandemic. And so, Francis, fill us in, like, because it's, you know, I understand it's a battery and it works, and the fact that I don't need to know exactly how it works maybe is a testament to the success of it. But is lithium, is it something that's, is it a natural, is it something that's mined, is it something that we can produce, that we can manufacture? Is there a finite amount of it, you know, as there is with a lot of fossil fuels, which is the impetus for a lot of this stuff in the first place? So just give a little sort of like 101 on the lithium side.
Yeah, so few words on lithium supply chain. So in our nation, this is a problem. Not cutting any, just to cut to the chase here, I think our nation is significantly behind to the extent that it's actually a national security concern. When you talk to the Department of Defense, the fact that we source almost all of our batteries abroad, particularly in Asia, that's a problem for a variety of different reasons. China, as many people know, controls about 70% of the battery value chain. So China's made huge investments over decades to be able to, let's call it, own this category. What's happening in the U.S. is exciting. I think if you go back to, you know, the innovation behind lithium-ion technology, this all came out of the U.S. So like two of the three Nobel Prize winners back in 2019 were Americans. So this innovation came out of the United States. Some of these fundamental core technologies that we use today even came out of Argonne National Labs, just locally. But what we need to do better on, and these are things that China's done well, is make the products here, right? And there's no reason that we can't source minerals, you know, everything upstream that we need to make the batteries here. That's what the Biden administration has been trying to do over the last four years plus. They've had historic legislations, the IRA, the BIL, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. These are all funding to help companies like NanoGraph get things off the ground so we can compete globally.
You mentioned sort of the provenance of being able to be the genesis of a lot of this technology and these systems, and just other people around the world that happens in industries just either take a leading role in it, or just maybe better system-wise in the man, or it hasn't been a priority, right? And now that we know, I think through the last handful of years, just how important it is to be able to do that, I wanted to ask, I think I sort of did, is there a finite amount of the natural resources? Is this something that is maybe a stopgap till the next thing, or is this something that could be the future kind of predominant power source going forward?
Yeah, so there's no short. If you look at the elements that are used in batteries, there is no serious shortage of materials in the world. So this, people have done the calculations in terms of having enough materials, lithium, cobalt, nickel, to be able to make lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. That's not the problem. Problem is they're scattered, you know, all over the world. When we think about, I'll give you an example, natural graphite, right? Natural graphite exists mainly in China. 85% of the world's natural resource of graphite just happened to exist in China. And so what China's done now, China doesn't have every element in its country. What they've done is they have made strategic investments, mining investments in minerals, precious metals around the world, right? And I think, to be honest, we're a little bit behind there. The administration understands that. We're beginning to get there. I think we're moving as fast as we can. And certainly, like I said, there's been historic amounts of funding to support that. So we're on our way.
We're talking about being on our way on Route 66. We'll have our winner before the top of the hour. We'll definitely announce who won it. And then when we come back from this segment, we're going to continue our conversation with Francis Wang. He's the CEO of NanoGraph. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the uses and some of the advantages and benefits related to the batteries that are, whether it's Department of Defense, whether it's racing, or just some of these different applications. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Illinois. Oftentimes, dysfunction, or it's difficult to start, run, and sustain businesses here in Illinois, but the state is leaning in a big way to help make this a big success. And we'll talk with Francis about that as well. Quick break. We'll be back. It's Dane on 720 WGN. High atop Chicago Skyline Studio. You can see a lot. I can see the future, right? But he's not out the window here. He's right in front of us. It's Francis Wang, CEO of NanoGraph. Francis, welcome back.
Thanks, Dan.
So we're talking about what it is that you're doing on the all-important lithium battery side, the fact that you're doing it in a big way, and not just here in Illinois. You know, you're doing it with, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that, you know, whether it's on the racing side, and there was of course that genesis as far as us meeting related to NASCAR and some of the things that may be happening on the racing side. And in the past, And I saw, you know, I saw you in the garage this morning, and you have your Tesla there in the past. Whether it was like, I always joke around, Ed, I don't even know if anyone knows who Ed Begley Jr. is anymore, but he was a guy that would be, you know, he's for the planet and you driving electric cars or Priuses or whatever. And that was always considered, at least back in the day, a compromise, right? You're saving the planet, you're going slow and you're driving something very, very expensive. But in the end, you have the peace of mind that the planet is better off. And it just isn't that way anymore, right? For instance, like the electric cars, it's not a compromise. They're fast.
They're fast. They perform well. I mean, I've had that Tesla, and you're right, it was a little bit expensive at the beginning, but I sort of had to walk the talk. And
so that's why I noticed it for the listeners that Francis did not call in for the ExxonMobil gift card, right? He just felt it wouldn't be appropriate.
That's right. I'd be happy if you gave it to someone else. But yeah, they work great. I think, you know, every day I'm out there, you look left, right? You see more electric vehicles on the road. That always warms the heart. I think we're still maybe something like 6-7% of cars on the road are electric vehicles, but it's growing every year. So,
I mean, you know, it may not be, at least at this point, it may not be perfect for every situation, but you're seeing it exist and excel in a lot more areas than you had before. And there was some exciting news I was made aware of too. And you think, okay, well, this is all sort of personal indulgence. Like, we get in a car, we like the car, it goes fast, we go from point A to point B, we have a cell phone, we can do whatever we want, we can check our TikTok account, we can, and it's all sort of, you know, just very individualized. But just like we talked with, you know, Anthony Martin and Build Submarines, and just the fact that the Department of Defense is in and around, and the security for our country, I think, is all of our concerns, and relative to many, many things, is that Nanograf, you guys are working with DOD.
Yeah, for sure. DOD has been the biggest part of our story over the last 4 years. And I think you mentioned it, Dan, you know, creating a startup company, especially in this space, in the energy category, adoption just comes slow. That's just a fact of it, right? And in all different types of technology. And we understood that at the beginning. The relationship with the Department of Defense has been great. You know, unfortunately, as I mentioned earlier, there is a national security concern about batteries. And more importantly, U.S. soldiers don't have the type of performance that they want out in the field. So
that would be a tough time to have, hey, my cell phone's dying.
Exactly. When you're in the desert and, you know, your night vision goggles are not working, you know, it's a life and death situation. So we were sought out back in 2020, and the military came to us, specifically the Army, the C5ISR group, and they said, here's spec for a battery. Can you make this? Can your material enable what turns out to be the world's most energy-dense 18650 battery? And we said, yeah, we're up for the challenge.
For the untrained, the uninitiated, what is the dense 18650 battery? I mean, is that something that you can describe? And I've got to think for the list, is it just because it has to be space? Oh, wow, it's small.
Yeah. So these are actually, I actually brought one, but let me explain it to folks that can't see this. It's a cylindrical battery. It looks almost like a double A cell.
Yep. It's just a little bit bigger than
a double A cell. And, you know, the military said, hey, guys, get your technology in this, manufacture it. If you do, we'll fund you, we'll back you, and we'll buy your product. And so that was part of the strategy to kind of leverage and monetize some of the unfortunate things about national security that we're dealing with in our country. And we made good on those promises. It took us about 2 to 3 years to kind of optimize this battery. We got millions of dollars thanks to Senator Durbin and others. Governor Pritzker's support has been great. Here in Westtown, Department of Defense essentially helped pay for a manufacturing facility that will manufacture the materials that go into this battery. And the hope someday is to get all of this onshore, right? That's when the national security concerns go away. And the exciting part of it is when we start to be able to do that, it's not just Nanograf. It's more than Nanograf. It's more than silicon. It's other companies in the local region that have really cool technologies, and we work together with them to get them into this cell. And the military is a great landing place, right? They need the technology, and they want U.S. innovation.
A lot of, you know, there are many things throughout the course of history, many, many things that are just part of everyday life now that started out with the military. A lot of times the initiating that innovation is what kind of fuels the engine to get things going, and then helps create some and fund some of those technologies. And you mentioned Illinois, you mentioned the senators, and we had talked in the last segment about Illinois sort of has a reputation for a lot of dysfunction, certainly political dysfunction or arguing, or, and to have people on board for this, I think is super, super important. You mentioned the dollars and the orders, and what that means to me and says, I'm sure, to a lot of the listeners is jobs, right? It's the kind of thing that you can have jobs in a sector that is only growing and expanding, and to have those happen in Illinois. You had said something along the lines of being able to create that either presence or reputation as the battery belt, and maybe have Illinois be the buckle. Who knows, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the bigger dream, right? Transform the Rust Belt into the battery belt. So it's what we're doing is great locally, but you know, the bigger aspiration is to do that regionally, right? Create the next generation of jobs. That's great for the environment. It's good for the U.S. worker, right? I think these will be very good paying jobs. It benefits the community in so many ways. And, you know, a lot of, you know, shout out to the Biden administration in terms of what they're trying to do here. Certainly, NanoGraph wants to be part of that. I just think there's so much good that can be done all the way around.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Francis Wang. He is the CEO of NanoGraph. And Francis, as many things and as many important things and things that are relevant to our listeners, we reach 38 states in Canada. This station is a big station. A lot of people are hearing about this and saying, I would like to get a little piece of that. And granted, with, I think, the Department of Defense stuff, you can say that your influence, the footprint is national, global, right, as those forces expand. But talk about the future of Nano. Like, where do you see it going? You see, obviously, having that presence, you know, Rust Belt to Battery Belt. What's the big picture maybe for NanoGraph and then also for the industry?
Yeah, for sure. So our company's kind of at that inflection point. They call it that hockey stick inflection point where, you know, we've proven out the technology. Over the last few weeks, we made a number of commercial milestones where we're actually selling product and not samples. That's huge for a startup company. So we have that momentum behind us. We have our beachhead market, I'll call it, behind and ahead of us. What's next is really reaching that cost and scale where we can reach mainstream markets like electric vehicles. And I think, you know, in the past, they call it crossing the chasm, right, or the valley of death. That can be a long and deep one. But I think NanoGraph is one of the few companies that's built a foundation where we'll be able to tread water through that, right? And that's just, you know, the next stage of the dream of this company is to be able to scale, reduce cost, get our technology out there, and all in the process, create jobs, transform the Midwest, and hopefully move the needle on the environment.
You mentioned treading water. Maybe instead of treading water, jumping over it, right? In, let's say, a race car, we'll bring it full circle here. Some of the exciting things, Jesse Iwuji Motorsports, there's some just thought, right, of being able to participate and get that message out to, I think, an audience that understands that electricity and electric vehicles may be part of the new future of racing. Just your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we've had some great conversations with Jesse and his team and about how do we take this to the next level. I think, you know, it's a little antithetical, I think, when you think about NASCAR and electric vehicles. But, you know, in my opinion, there's a lot of opportunities there, right? I mean, the design of electric vehicles, like in terms of performance, I think the EV that they showed had 1,300 horsepower, which I believe is something like double of
just
what...
Just about, yep.
Yeah, which is really exciting. There's a bunch of other problems with that EV, like it's too heavy. But all in all, like, I think there's a bunch of different innovations that can happen in NASCAR, right? You'll grow a broader audience. I think electric vehicles can bring others to the table, to an already exciting sport. And then maybe there's different formats. I mean, I can imagine, you know, different types of formats. It'll change NASCAR a bit, but change is not necessarily a bad thing. When you reach, you know, something, it becomes a national sport.
It's a step, maybe a drive in the right direction. We'll certainly bring it up with Julie Giese. She'll be on with us a little bit later on in the program. As we let you go in the few seconds we've got, the website for NanoGraph, people to keep up.
Yeah, please reach out to us, myself. So our website is www.nanograph.com. That's NanoGraph.com. Hope to hear from you guys soon.